Hey, can I rethink this?
ESN Environmentally Smart Nitrogen Fertilizer. Learn more at smartnitrogen.com.
My friends swim no matter the season, but my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis can sometimes take me out of the moment. Now, thanks to Skyrizi and clear skin, count me in. With Skyrizi, Risankizumab Riza, a prescription-only 150-milligram injection for adults who are candidates for systemic or phototherapy. 3 out of 4 people achieve 90% clear skin at 4 months.
Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions and an increased risk of infections or a lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check for infection and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms, such as fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, or if you plan to or recently received a vaccine.
Thanks to Skyrizi, there's nothing on my skin, and that means everything. Ask your doctor today about Skyrizi, the number one dermatologist-prescribed biologic in psoriasis. And visit Skyrizi.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZI to learn more.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Growing calls for the House Ethics Committee to share its findings of the sexual misconduct investigation of ex-Congressman Matt Gaetz with the Senate. Before confirmation hearings, Gaetz stepped down hours after President-elect Trump chose him to be Attorney General. Here's ABC's Jay O'Brien.
We've heard from Republican senators who say they want their hands on that report, but the Speaker of the House has said to the committee he does not want them to release the report because he does not believe that they have jurisdiction over someone who is no longer a member of the House of Representatives.
President Biden at the G20 summit calling on world leaders to continue the charge to end global conflicts, including the war in Ukraine and in Gaza and Lebanon. Spirit Airlines filing for bankruptcy protection today. The bargain carrier trying to reorganize due to mounting debt and a failed merger along with a failed buyout. In the Northeast, fire crews continuing to battle brush fires. Rain is in the forecast later this week. This is ABC News. Several Oklahoma school districts have moved to remote learning as severe storms move across the state. As of this morning, storms have produced at least 6 tornadoes. About 1 in 5 Americans tell the Pew Research Center they regularly get their news from influencers on social media.
For its study, Pew first set up some guidelines. To be considered a news influencer, the person had to regularly post about current events and have at least 100,000 followers on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, TikTok, or X, where 85% of news influencers have a presence. Most of those putting out news content are men. 27% identify as Republican, 21% Democrat, and 77% of them have no affiliation with any mainstream news site. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
McDonald's says it will spend $100 million on marketing and help franchise owners win back customers after an E. coli outbreak linked to onions in those quarter pounders. I'm Michelle Franz in ABC News.
It's the most wonderful time of the year on Pluto TV. Get all your holiday favorites absolutely free. Cozy up with festive classics like Bad Santa 2 and Scrooged to get you in the holiday spirit. Plus, heartwarming movies from Lifetime and Hallmark movies and more holiday favorites. Explore entire channels guaranteed to spread the cheer with bright lights, festive fireplaces, and the holiday music you love. We've got something for everyone. Season's greetings from Pluto TV. Stream now. Pay never.
Okay, I have to tell you. I was just looking on eBay, where I go for all kinds of things I love, and there it was.
That hologram trading card. One of the rarest, the last one I needed for my set. Shiny like the
designer handbag of my dreams. One of a kind. eBay had it, and now everyone's asking, ooh, where'd you get your
windshield wipers? eBay has all the parts that fit my car. No more annoying. Just beautiful.
Whatever you love, find it on eBay. eBay. Things people love.
Wisconsin Radio Network News. I'm Ted Ehlen. A crucial step forward for a pipeline project in northern Wisconsin.
The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources has granted permits required for Enbridge Energy to reroute its Line 5 pipeline around the land of the Bad River Band of Lake Superior Chippewa. Enbridge must adhere to more than 200 specific conditions included in the permits to ensure it meets state standards for wetlands and waterways. Environmental and tribal activists remain opposed, citing potential wetland and wildlife destruction, contamination, and potential oil spills. Enbridge must complete the 41-mile-long project along the Bad River Reservation by November 2027. Bob Haig, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Wisconsin Department of Health Services is unveiling a new tool to help local organizations track and respond to overdoses. Director of Substance Abuse Initiatives Michelle Hayes says the suspected overdose alerts for rapid response system will include data from multiple sources.
Authorized users of this system will automatically receive an email if a number of suspected overdoses for their geographic region exceeds a threshold.
Access to the system is available to professionals at approved organizations. Wausau-based Aspirus Health has announced plans to open a medical facility in Chippewa Falls following the sudden closure of the hospital there.
President and CEO Matt Haywood says they have an aggressive construction timeline, and while they haven't picked out a site for a building just yet, he thinks the model would let them get services as quickly as possible to the people of Chippewa Falls and Eau Claire.
And that would start with an emergency room. It would be hospital beds. It would be basic lab and radiology services.
He calls the model scalable, meaning they'll be able to add on to the facility for additional services as they see fit. Mike Leishner, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Worthington, Minnesota continues to shine. It's worth a look. We've expanded so many things. It's a time of growth. We've expanded recreation activities with our indoor ice arena, our indoor turf rec center and playground, and our outdoor water park, Worthington, Minnesota. It's worth a look. Our schools have expanded, and so has our industry. We're continuing to expand our population also, with lots ready to build on Glenwood Heights. So let's grow together in Worthington, Minnesota. It's worth a look.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Rain jackets and umbrellas needed today. Rain developing by later in the afternoon. The wind will start to pick up as well. High temperatures in the mid-50s. Rain continues tonight. Wind continues to pick up with gusts as high as 40 miles per hour. Temps holding steady in the mid-50s. For fall and winter getaways plus holiday fun, check out Alexandria, Minnesota. ExploreAlex.com. Right now, it's 47.
The wheat market was off and running on supply-side concerns that helped corn work to the upside, while the soy complex firmed on support from some fresh export demand. Beef demand continues to limit selling interest in live cattle futures, and lean hogs work to catch up with the work that the cash market has already done.
Live, we are off and running via Farm Journal broadcast. This is AgriTalk. This afternoon, it's a conversation with Dwayne Bossy from Bold Marketing. Later, Kerry Artak from Artak Advisory and WickedStocks.com. And directly following the news, Jack Scoville from the Price Futures Group. I'm the handsome newsman, Davis Michelson. Now, here's the host of AgriTalk, Jeff Flory.
All right, Davis, hey, thank you so much. Welcome to AgriTalk. Glad that you are with us on this Monday afternoon. And, dude, it is a dreary fall Monday afternoon here in Northeast Iowa.
Yeah?
I don't know if I can keep up the energy, dude.
It sounds like you may have already given up the fight, brother.
Well, you know, it seems to be winding down here pretty quickly. I don't know what else to tell you. It's just...
I got this. We got a great show for you, everybody.
We've got
Dwayne on the
show. It's going to
be a fantastic show. You're not even going to believe it. Yeah.
I'm so looking forward to it. So looking forward to the conversation with Dwayne.
Yeah.
He is doing some farming today, by the way.
Okay.
Davis. Dwayne is. Dwayne's doing some farming, and we are going to learn about some of the farming that he is doing because it's going to be interesting. People are going to find this, I find it very interesting. So I would hope you will find it interesting as well.
When I hear you say something like that, it makes me want to stay tuned in for the entirety of the hour, Chip.
For the entire show? Really?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Does
the whole
it?
Thing. Top to bottom. Yeah. You betcha.
The plan is coming together. All right.
Cloudy down Impressive. Here in KC too, man. We got the rain happening, and I kind of know what you mean.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It's it is a day. Good day in the wheat market soybean market, yes, corn market, cattle market. Yeah, hogs, okay. I mean, we'll call it a good day. But that doggone cotton, I didn't even mention it. It closed mixed, and the December contract was lower after just getting flushed on Friday. Tough setup there in that cotton market right now. All right, let's get to the markets. What do you got, buddy?
Well, Chip, wheat futures were solidly higher with support from the escalation of Russia's war in Ukraine. U.S. President Biden gave the go-ahead to Ukraine to use long-range missiles to potentially counter Russia's move to bring North Korean fighters into the conflict. The threat to exportable wheat supplies from the Black Sea is back as a feature for the wheat market. The U.S. dollar also traded sharply lower to help support late-session gains in wheat futures. Export inspections of wheat in the weekend of November 14 totaled just 196,000 metric tons. That was well below trade expectations. December soft red winter wheat futures traded higher for the entire session and posted a low range open and a high range close. December HRW wheat futures today 15¼ cents higher to 5.55¼. December SRW wheat up 10¾, 5.47¼. Still waiting on the final settlement on spring wheat at last report, up 12½ cents on your December spring wheat. That's at 5.84¾, Chip.
Doesn't it feel like this thing, and I mean, it's already out of control. I understand that, but bringing North Korea in and authorizing the use of long-range missiles, I mean, this feels like it's spinning out of control. I'm not overstating that, am I?
I don't think so at all. I think that these were what we might call fetters, which have now been loosed. Yeah. Which potentially could exacerbate the situation.
Right.
For sure. Well, let's go to corn. Corn export inspections weekend of November 15 totaled 821,000 metric tons. That was in line with trade expectations. Total corn shipments are 31.9% ahead of year ago compared to USDA's estimate that exports will climb just 1.4% from year ago. Corn felt spillover support from wheat, with selling limited by ideas that China will likely increase corn imports ahead of the inauguration of President-elect Trump. December corn opened slightly lower and near session lows, closed at session highs. December corn futures 5¼ cents higher at 4.29¼. March corn up 4½ cents, 4.39¾. July corn futures closed at 4.50 even. That's up 3 cents today, Chip.
Yeah, I thought that, you know, with double digit gains in wheat like we got, that corn might even be able to perform a little bit better than what it did. But these corn just feels really comfortable at 4.30 is what it looks like to me.
Yeah. Well, soybean export inspections totaled 2.17 million metric tons. That was also in line with trade expectations. USDA this morning also announced the sale of 261,000 metric tons of soybeans to Mexico, 30,000 metric tons of bean oil to India, and the sale of 135,000 metric tons of soybean meal to the Philippines. That demand-side effort was offset by word that Brazil has now planted 80% of its bean crop. That's well ahead of the year-ago pace. South American rainfall will be a mixed bag this week, although some key areas are expected to be mostly dry over the next 10 days. January bean futures opened higher, dropped to trade moderately lower, and then recovered to close near session highs. All told, January beans 11¼ cents higher today at 10.09¾. March beans up 10¼ to 10.19. July beans closed at 10.42¾. That's up 8½ cents, Chip.
All right, yeah, December soybean meal today up 70 cents, 290.30. And December bean oil today up 17 points, 45.52. Let's go ahead and go to Jack Scoville, Price Futures Group. How you doing, Jack?
Doing great. How about you?
Not too bad. Dece corn feels like 4:30 is a comfort zone for it. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, it sure does. I thought personally it could go a little bit stronger than it did, but it seems pretty content to hang around here. Where there are worse things in life, it's still a pretty decent price. Seems to be attracting enough selling interest from the part of the producer and enough demand from the part of the user to keep the prices pretty stable. But looks like both sides pretty matched up.
Yeah, Yep. Well, it's what the market's supposed to find every day, right? The price that gets
well,
action.
Yeah, it is. And it looks like corn's kind of found it for the minute, you know. Yep. But it is what we're after every day, after all.
That's right. That's right. Okay, tell me about this bean trade. What did you make of it?
Well, I thought the beans acted great. One of the reasons why I thought corn could work a little higher. We did some business with Mexico, India, and Philippines today, so that really helped. And to me, the bean market really kind of took off on the export news. Really was kind of languishing before the news came out, but really kind of took off after the news, and then it just never really stopped, never really settled back real well. So I thought the demand news was very positive. And if we can keep it up, we can keep this market strong again.
Yeah, boy, we got to watch what's happening in the Black Sea region between Russia and Ukraine and North Korea now, don't we?
Yes, we do. And that was responsible, I think, for a lot of the wheat rally today, because wheat wasn't doing anything much either. With Russia and Ukraine and the U.S. allowing longer-range missiles to be used and North Korea coming in, looks like the situation's getting hot again.
That's right. That's right. Good stuff, Jack. Thank you. Jack Scoville, Price Futures Group. Dwayne Bussey's up next here on AgriTalk.
Are you ready to unleash superior seeding performance in your operation? Choose from two revolutionary Great Plains drills. The BD7600 Min-Till Drill, renowned for its seeding consistency, large capacity, and innovative technology, including Drill Command. And the new BD7410 Drill, whose transport width under 10 feet delivers great maneuverability through gates and down narrow roadways. Learn more at your local Great Plains dealer or greatplainsag.com. Great Plains. Harvest starts here.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Wake up, get ready, grab breakfast, go to work, grab lunch, come home, run to practice, run to the store, grab dinner, go to bed, and repeat. Food fuels your day, and we fuel the people producing it with the latest news, information, and perspectives from across the globe. Ag Day is a place to learn about the business of food and farming. Join us and our team of experts as we cover the stories that keep the world moving. That's weekdays for Ag Day, the country experience.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine. Not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
I'm Tyne Morgan, host of
The Wisconsin Corn Growers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members, our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit wicorn.org and become a member today.
Hey, this is Matthew with Bluff Country Feed and Seed. When you start to think about planting roots and building your foundation for spring, fertilizing crops is like putting money in the bank. You put dollars or pounds in, but are your investments paying you interest? Or does it seem like you only get out what you put in, or even less? Soil health and living biology are the ticket to unlocking the next bushel. Farming for Biology takes a customized approach. Let my team help create your soil health strategy. Check out our website or give us a call today.
I don't know what you're thinking, so call us at 855-4-TALK-AG and tell us what's on your mind.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. We are going to get to the conversation with Dwayne Bussey here in just a moment. But first, Davis, let's go ahead and finish up the news.
Quickly here, I've got December cotton today, 18 points lower, 66.62. On your livestock's heavyweight choice graded boxed beef jumped $4.48 this morning, helping nearby live cattle futures turn mixed mid-morning trade into a solidly higher close. December fat cattle were $1.15 higher today at 184.10. February futures up 72.5 to 185.97.5. January feeder futures up 227.5 to 249.50. And on the snout side, lean hog futures remain at a steep discount to the cash lean hog index. December lean hogs posted an inside trading day. Dece hogs 52.5 higher, 80.02.5. And Feb hogs up 37.5 to 83.27.5. Chip Lorre.
All right. Thank you very much, Davis. Yeah, choice graded heavyweights, $4.48 higher. Now, movement was pretty slow, just 65 loads. But when we've got the choice up 448 and the select down $1.09, and the choice select spread now to 32.77, they cannot get enough of the choice in prime beef. It's crazy.
I will say I was spotted at a local steakhouse here over the weekend. That might have something to do with it.
That could have something you pulled down the demand. You pulled down the supplies enough or something that, didn't you?
That's right.
Wow.
I did. Good for you.
No
regrets.
For you. Dwayne Bussey, Bolt Marketing, Britton, South Dakota. How are you, Dwayne?
Hey, Chip. I'm doing great. How about yourself?
Well, doing just fine. I helped out with the beef demand a little bit. Maybe more than a little bit this weekend, too. I hope you had a chance.
Oh, you know what's a funny thing? You brought that up. Yeah, we did as well. We went out with a group of friends to a local steakhouse where the ribeye that they bring out, the one guy next to me started laughing right away when he saw the size of it. And you know, something about losing your manhood when you can't finish it all. But when you go to this place, I just know right away, this is a couple meal deal here. So yeah, I kind of ate steak all weekend long.
Nice. Yeah. I like it when that plan comes together right there. How you been? Mm-hmm. Everything okay?
Yeah, everything's really good. What a great fall. Man, as a producer, it was just the best. Harvest went great. Up here, we even got tillage work done. I finished up this morning, and I can never really say I finish up. You know, I'm in northeast South Dakota. Usually the weather stops me. Ground gets hard, and I can't till it anymore, and it just tells me that I'm done. But I can say I'm putting equipment away after this and kind of just ready for winter, I guess, as ready as I'm going to be anyway.
Gotcha. Okay. Tell us about what you were doing this morning.
Okay. Well, it's
come
a little
on. I love this. I love this. Oh, number God. One, because I've walked through some of that stuff up there, you know, pheasant hunting, and I'd rather see it growing crops.
Well, that's just it. I sent you an email because I thought, well, geez, I don't know where I'll end up at if I'll be on the phone or back in the office. But what I was doing is disking under cattails. And if anyone knows what cattails are, they're a disgusting weed that I have up here that grows in all my wet spots. Now, great for pheasants, great for deer hunting, which I like that as well. But you're right. We've had a lot of that that's been growing up over the last couple of years when we're wet and we can't produce anything off of it. So, I countered them down with a construction disc, and that left it about as rough as you can imagine. So today my job was to go across with a little vertical tillage and just try to smooth it out so I don't break my neck next spring, I guess.
Yep. Now, when was the last time that those acres grew a crop?
Oh, it has been a while. For some of them, maybe close to 10 years in some of the spots. On my farm, actually, we're over 300 acres. I think it's 375 acres that are actually don't even qualify for prevent plant anymore. Remember, they'll pay you 4 years of not growing a crop. So, yeah, this is some lowland. Now, you got to remember where I'm at. We're called the prairie pothole region. So the water just sets. It either has to go up in evaporation or down, or make really good pheasant hunting for guys like Chip Flory. That's the other thing. So it's with the drought this late August and fall, we're being able to get back in and work these areas. So, great. And it does kind of raise up the idea of you know, we can get this planted next year. That's some acres we haven't planted on our farm for a while.
Right. Now, it's 375 acres for you. Now, but you multiply that, and, I mean, if it's working for you, it's working for other guys. Other guys are doing the same thing, aren't they?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it is an interesting point because, and it's kind of just the key in my area, so I don't mind reporting on this prevent plant stuff. Not that I'm proud of it by any means, but whatever.
Yeah.
This year we had, 4.72 million acres of prevent plant in the U.S. Uh-huh. Like I said, some of my acres didn't even qualify for it anymore, so that even number gets a little higher. But if everyone's doing this fall, we could drop that prevent plant acres down well below 2 million, and all of a sudden we've got 2 to 3 million more acres that could go back into production up here. Now, I know this isn't Illinois and Iowa, but boy, our yields are bumping up higher all the time too. And at a spring when we maybe don't need all the acres, we might just be able to add some to it. Now, I say all that, and my wife, if she would be listening, would be cursing me out because she knows I'm going to get horribly disappointed when we get a 4 to 6 inch rain next spring and all this stuff goes back to water. But luckily, I don't think she's listening this afternoon. I'm sure she's always a great listener of this show, but maybe she'll miss it this afternoon, so I won't be in the doghouse right away.
Oh my goodness. Okay. The reason I wanted to bring it up is it does give me some things to, and should give everyone some things to think about. Number one, the swing acres that we're looking up in North Dakota and South Dakota. If you're looking for a definition of swing acres, that's where you find them, is in the Dakotas. Number two, when we've gotten to the end of the season here over the past couple of years, there have been many that have said, boy, I can't believe I thought we'd have more prevent plant acres. Well, some of those acres had maxed out on their prevent plant designation, I'm sure. So that might explain some of that. And now for next year, here we've got some of those acres coming back. Game changers? I don't think so. Could it make things lean one way or the other, Dwayne?
Well, yeah, I think so a little bit. Like you said, not a game changer. It's something different to talk about and consider when we think about this trade. And like you said, the swing acres, you know, almost everyone you ask in the I states are going to say they're sticking to their rotation. Up here,
right?
Oh, our rotation goes left and right big time. And for my farm, we're hoping a lot more corn acres next year.
Right. Okay, hoping a lot more corn acres next year, is that because that's what these acres do best that you're bringing back?
A little bit of both. We were strong soybeans this year, so our rotation will push us back to strong corn. But honestly, it seems like up here we can yield really well in corn. And soybeans, we still struggle just a little bit. But maybe that's me being a really short-term memory. The soybeans struggle up here with the wet feet early on and then drought late.
Yep. All right. What do you make of how the markets are trading right now, Dwayne?
I like today a lot more than I liked the entire week last week. I can tell you that much. And it's funny to me how quickly things flip and change. You know, last week it felt like there wasn't any bullish news that could turn the market. And while, you know, you take 2 days off and we're launching long-range missiles over in Ukraine, and Russia's sent over 100 missiles, I think, and all of a sudden we got maybe a little bit of war premium that needs to be added back in wheat, and funds are buying corn, and soybeans decided to even join the party late in the day. So I love the way we closed today on everything. All the charts look good as well.
Okay, funds are buying corn. Is that short covering, or is that new longs?
That's actually new longs coming in. I mean, for the past couple of months, it's been covering shorts, right? They weren't quite record short, but they had just a massive amount of short positions. And I always thought, well, if we can give them some reason to cover those shorts, they'll buy the market. And with the volume they do, they'll get us up to a decent price to sell. Well, they did all that and then went long 100,000 contracts. Now, sadly, the market hasn't moved a lot, but I really, really like playing the side of the game wherever the funds are thinking. And I doubt they're going to go long 100,000 contracts and then decide to just sell them all back either. So this weekend, I got kind of friendly the corn market.
Okay. The corn market, but not soybeans?
Yeah, I'm kind of like everyone else when it comes to the soybeans. Now, I really like what happened today. So short term, I'm going to say that we could have a bit of a rebound here. It looks like we should following everything else, but I'm kind of like everyone else. Longer term in the beans chip, man, those world stocks are problemsome. And I mean, yep. We got big, what, 10 to 20 million metric ton increase this year. Next year, we could have the exact same thing. So I'm a little worried about soybeans.
All right, man, we got a lot more ground to cover. I can't believe that segment has gone on us already. We are in the middle of a conversation with Dwayne Bussey, Bolt Marketing up in Britain, South Dakota. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about that balance sheet on both corn and soybeans. We got to throw wheat and cattle into this combo, too.
Hi, I'm Paul Niefer, a CPA and author of the Farm CPA blog and column for Top Producer. Join me every week on the Top Producer podcast for conversations about the top trends in farm management, tax issues, succession planning, policy implications, and more. Each week, I visit with business-minded farmers and ag experts for lively and in-depth conversations. Subscribe to the Top Producer podcast, available on your preferred podcast platform, and listen to a new episode every Tuesday.
Scammers often try to dupe veterans to steal the VA benefits they've earned. Scammers may try to obtain sensitive information or collect payments over the phone, offer to move assets in order to qualify for pension, insist benefits may be sent directly to a friend or caregiver, or promise to manage benefits or file a claim for you. VA will never charge you for processing a claim, and only VA can determine eligibility. To report suspicious activity, visit va.gov/OIG/hotline.
Let's go to the markets page at ProFarmer.com and check today's closes, where December HRW wheat futures were 15 and one quarter cents higher at 555 and a quarter. December SRW wheat up 10 and three quarters to 547 and one quarter. December corn futures 5 1/4 cents higher at 429 and a quarter. March corn up 4 1/2 cents to 439 and three quarters. January soybean futures 11 1/4 cents higher at 10.09 and three quarters. March beans up 10 1/4, 10.19. December cotton today was 18 points lower at 66.62. On your livestocks, December fat cattle $1.15 higher, 184.10. Jan feeders up 227 1/2 to 249.50. And diesel lean hogs 52 1/2 higher at 80.02 1/2. Get more market news every market day. Visit TryProFarmer.com.
Want to get smarter?
Tax season is just around the corner. Let the experienced tax professionals at Sunstrom & Company in downtown Durant help you explore ways you can save money on your taxes. Sunstrom & Company works with farms, corporations, family-owned businesses, and individuals to make your tax headaches disappear. Call or visit Sunstrom today for an appointment at their Main Street Durant location next to the Courier Wedge. Sunstrom & Company, local accountants providing quality tax and financial management since 1980.
At Jerry Bear & Sons, your Golden Harvest seed dealer, their best skill is knowing how to listen. Because once they understand your operation and goals, they can offer the right products to perform in your fields. From the Gold Series soybean and game-changing corn portfolios to expert insights, it's an answer to what they have heard from you. Get fall cash discounts when you order your Golden Harvest seeds now at Jerry Bear & Sons, just off Highway 25, Durant.
Rugged outside, comfort inside. Working outside all day, you want to be in control. And TYM Tractors puts you in control with the TYM Climate Control Cab. This cab is designed with your comfort in mind, with temperature controls, plenty of headroom, and noise reduction. Rugged comfort that makes tough jobs a little bit easier. Work smarter, not harder. But you can't buy a TYM tractor just anywhere. It's only sold at special authorized TYM dealers, like Synergy Cooperative, Highway 25 in Ridgeland.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Rain jackets and umbrellas needed today. Rain developing by later in the afternoon. The wind will start to pick up as well. High temperatures in the mid-50s. Rain continues tonight. Wind continues to pick up with gusts as high as 40 miles per hour. Temps holding steady in the mid-50s. For fall and winter getaways plus holiday fun, check out Alexandria, Minnesota. ExploreAlex.com. Right now, it's 47.
Expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. Our name says it all. AgriTalk,
What more do you need to know?
Hello, hello. Are you okay? Is everything all right?
Are we there? Is this thing on?
Yes, welcome back. Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. That is Davis. Everything's looking good out there. I think we're okay.
Okay.
We are in the middle of a conversation with Dwayne Bussey from Bolt Marketing up in Britton, South Dakota. Let's get him back in here. Talk to me a little bit more about how you see this, the balance sheet on corn playing out. Here we are, November. We got a, do I call it a bigger than expected cut to the supply side of the balance sheet? And then they made no changes on the demand side. Did that surprise you at all?
Yeah, that did surprise me. And it disappointed me as one of the bulls on the corn market, because you start to wonder, our export pace is phenomenal, right? It looks like we're far going to exceed USDA's current demand forecast of, what, 2.325 billion bushels. But the fact that they didn't change it makes you wonder, well, does USDA know something we don't? Do they know that this is all front-loaded buying, you know, pre-election, pre-Trump getting into office, and that it's going to pull back? But I don't know. I got to increase them a little bit more. I'm at 2.435, so and it's not just a little bit more. I have export demand quite strong. You know, South America really doesn't have any exportable corn right now. Ukraine, we briefly talked about the issues they have there or might have moving forward. So I kind of think we're the only game in town. And Chip, if I increase demand that much, my any stock dips below 1.8 billion, which starts to get friendly. But we really have to remember, we just got done with harvest. You know, we're not running out of corn in the Midwest right now. This is probably more of a spring story than anything. And then we'll counter that if I'm getting more acres planted, I guess, up here.
Gotcha. But so you, that would put your total use up there around, what, 15.1?
Yep, dead on, 15.175. I know that sounds crazy high, but I see feed and residual high. I see ethanol high. Corn prices are too low for all producers, but I guess it's low enough for demand to increase a little bit. At least I think so.
Well, it's one of the jobs of the market. So carry over 1.8 billion?
1.785.
Okay. So 1.785 divided by 15.175. You're looking at, you're starting to get the stocks to use ratio down, but it's, you know, what is it, 11.4%?
Yeah.
It's still not crazy bullish, is it?
It doesn't scream $5 corn. And actually, I'm just a little bit nervous that you're writing that down. That probably hinders on when I come back on the show or not. Usually I do presentations. People write things down. I want to stand at the door and take it away from them as they leave. But yeah, that's my numbers for now anyway.
I know the feeling. Yes. No, I was just trying to put a little perspective on it. Yep. Because, you know, it's going in the right direction, but it's still got work to do. And I love the way that you explain, you know, kind of explain the situation. It's not screaming $5 corn, but it doesn't scream $4 corn either.
Well, right. And then when you look at a chart, it kind of makes you feel a little bit better about we've probably seen the low, and I love that the funds are buying. That's really probably still the number one story to talk about, because they just have so much power. And if they decide they want to go long 300,000 contracts, it doesn't matter if I don't agree with them or not. They're going to probably move the market. Now, the negative side of it is we have farmers out there that are very undersold, and these rallies, as the funds buy it, farmers will be natural sellers in the market moving forward. But I mean, I think we can shoot for somewhere in the middle, that 450 in a March contract, 475 for July delivery corn. But you get to there, don't get bullish on me. I think that's where we really got to reward this market.
Yeah, good perspective right there. Okay, do the same thing on the soybean balance sheet for me. What are your thoughts there?
Well, or we could just skip that and just have a good show. No, just kidding. And this is where I kind of struggle, because my soybean outlook is fairly bearish. I mean, one, I was really surprised with that cut in the yield. I mean, I know it was a horribly dry fall, you know, so that lost some yield. And then, you know, the moisture of the beans coming off maybe made for a bigger cut than even I realized. But anyway, we lost 121 million bushels the last U.S. to report from production side. But on the demand side, it's still a question mark. I think a big question mark. I mean, USDA is at 1.825 for exports. I'm at 1.750. I think these beans were very front loaded. Actually, the Chinese officials have been very honest about telling us they've been very front loaded. And I think they're going to dive off pretty hard, especially if the weather's good in South America. So my ending stock is still above 500 at 528. But here's a good thing, Chip. It was 600 plus just before we had the production cut. So it's not as bad as it used to be, but it's still not good.
Right. Tough to anticipate much of a price, sustained price strength out of that. That is for sure. We talked about it with Jack at the start of the show, but the situation in the Black Sea region has got to be back on everybody's radar after, you know, like you said at the start of the conversation here, Dwayne. But it's got to be back on everybody's radar at this point, isn't it?
Well, I think so, especially after today's trade action. You know, last night, watch the markets open and see the news, and you think, wow, wheat might shoot up 10, 11 right away, and it just didn't. It was pretty quiet. And this morning, I started to think, well, I get it. Wheat is so tired of that Russia-Ukraine war as far as being a headline story, but the what happened and how it escalated this weekend, and then Trump saying that he's going to end the war when he gets in is a little bit mixed signal. So I think we got to build maybe just a touch, a little bit bigger war premium in here. It's going to make the market at least a little bit nervous. And maybe what it did too is it just made those contract lows hold, which I'm fine for that too. So now the chart looks a little bit supportive as well.
Okay, how important is it that wheat participates in any kind of a price rally at this time of the year, Dwayne? I mean, can corn go without wheat?
That's where I struggle. You know, everyone asks me, you know, individual, like the corn market, and I can spout off what I just told you. But the problem is that it doesn't trade by itself, does it? And I'm really struggling with, I've got corn going higher, but I got beans going lower. And that doesn't happen normally. So I guess I should be half right at the very least here. But I do think, back to your question, I do think we need wheat to rally as well. You know, it's a feed wheat. It can be used for feed. So if wheat prices are that much cheaper than corn, we'll just feed a little bit more wheat. But I don't know. Guys get really comfortable in their feed rations too and don't like flipping back and forth. But it's just a general rule of thumb, and all the spreaders out there in the trade, we're going to want wheat to rally with corn to get it up to those levels I was talking about.
Yep. Okay. We felt good about the way the corn market traded today. We felt good about the way that, well, all the markets traded today, including soybeans. Now, I felt like beans and the products could have done a little bit more after getting a dose of demand in that export sales report this morning. But like you were saying, it's a little bit too, not enough and too late in the game is what I hear you saying there on the demand side, Dwayne. Is that right?
I just a little bit anyway. Yeah. You know, that's the crop that I tell everyone, do not pay commercial storage on. When you get a rally, you know, hopefully everyone sold it last week when the market was up. And if we rally back up to that level, you know, everyone's looking at the same thing on a chart. Looks like a possible bit of a head and shoulders formation there. You get a rally back to 1050, no matter what the reason is, I like selling it. Don't like paying that storage, you know, even on farm stuff. I sold a big chunk of ours last week on farm. You know, it's funny, you get quickly after harvest, you can get a basis pinch here and there. And if somebody's willing to buy it, remember, our job is to sell the commodities eventually. You can't just hold it forever.
Yep. That's a great perspective. Great perspective. Usually the best time to sell something is when somebody wants to buy it. And if that if you're getting that basis push, you might as well grab it and take advantage of it. All right. Cattle. Talk to me about cattle. What's your thoughts?
The grains. Last week I was really disappointed, leaning kind of bearish. I was kind of just looking at the seasonal trade. You know, it usually struggles into Thanksgiving, the first week or two of December, and then maybe we start to come back. But, boy, feeders out of the blue on Friday, at least I sure didn't see it coming, are up $4 and look strong as heck. But, you know, I quickly thought to myself, like, well, feeders were at too much of a discount to the cash anyway. So I felt like they had to rally to catch cash. Now today, you know, another rally today on top of it. That's always good when you see continued buying. Now we push through some chart resistance, man. And if feeders are the leaders, maybe we put in our seasonal low a little early and live cattle can follow here. I love cutouts. We're up $4 at midday. Boy, it just looks a whole lot better than it did a week ago, Chip.
I cannot believe that these Jan feeders have put on, what is it, like $6? In no time at all. $5.50, $6 in no time at all. And like you said, broke out to the upside in that market today. This thing, the feeder market, it acts like it is, it acts like it's off and running. I'm not exactly sure what to make of it. I don't know. With corn rallying, with corn moving to the upside, and we got feeders doing this, I don't know which one to trust and which one not to.
I know, right? But it, that's back to the whole, if I could just trade them individually by themselves, I would feel better. But they don't trade that way. But you're right. I mean, man, just last Monday, January feeders hit a low of, what, 239.90 or something? So, I mean... Yeah, we're up $10 since then. So amazing. Yeah. But the cash market is so white hot. You get corn even this cheap. Guys would rather, I've heard you say before, walk it off the farm instead of selling the corn. And so, I mean, cash feeders are going to be white hot and stay that way. So I agree with you. You look at this chart and the breakout today, I don't want to say go back to contract highs, but it has that potential anyway.
Gotcha. Dwayne, I always enjoy this, man. Thank you so much for making time. Be safe out there. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks for having me, Chip.
You bet. Dwayne Bussey, Bolt Marketing, Britton, South Dakota. It's Monday. That means it's time for an update from Kerry Artak. That's coming your way next here on AgriTalk.
Scammers.
Hey, can you blow up some balloons for Jack's party?
I can't. I'm so congested.
You need Sinex Saline from Vicks.
Sinex Saline Nasal Spray?
Yeah, just Sinex. Breathe.
Sinex Saline instantly clears everyday congestion associated with colds and year-round allergies with a gentle, ultra-fine mist that's no mess and easy to control.
Daddy, we need more balloons!
On it!
Enjoy life's important moments without congestion. Try Sinex Saline from Vicks. Just Sinex. Breathe. Use as directed.
Meet Cheryl.
Hey.
She's on vacation and lost in the moment. Unfortunately, so is her Chase debit card.
It's got to be somewhere.
Maybe she lost it at salsa night.
These skirts should have pockets.
Or maybe she lost it at Pilates.
3 and 2 and...
But she's not worried. With the Chase mobile app, she can lock her card till it turns up. Tools to help protect. One bank that puts you in control. Visit chase.com/checking. Chase, make more of what's yours.
Chase mobile app is available for select mobile devices. Message and data rates may apply. JP Morgan Chase Bank, NA member FDIC.
This holiday season, Straight Talk Wireless is letting you say yes a lot more with real unlimited data. Yes to sharing pics of the ugliest holiday sweaters. Yes to checking weather on the go for surprise sledding trips. Yeah. And with a free phone at sign up, let the yes-tivities begin.
No way!
Yes way. Straight Talk, real unlimited data. Available at Walmart or straighttalk.com. Offer valid through 1/5/25 while supplies last at participating stores. Taxes and fees apply. Requires in-store activation on select single-line plans. Limit of 2 phones per customer. For network management practices, visit straighttalk.com.
William is one of millions of Americans who uses GoodRx to save on the cost of their prescriptions.
My oldest daughter, Camilla, 2 days old, she had to have open heart surgery. All of a sudden, she's on 5 different medications. It adds up at the end of the month. Me and the pharmacist got so tight. She said GoodRx saved you a lot of money. Saving that extra $200 to $300 a month, we're able to do all these extra activities. So it puts less stress on our household and it puts less stress on our pockets.
Download the free app or visit GoodRx.com and start saving today. GoodRx user compensated for their time. GoodRx is not insurance, but can be used instead of insurance.
No doubt you've heard of MetLife, but did you know that MetLife Investment Management has over 100 years of ag lending experience? The MetLife Investment Management team maintains close relationships with its borrowers and can structure a customized loan with flexible terms to meet your financial needs. Looking to expand, refinance, or recapitalize? Consider MetLife Investment Management. Learn more at MetLife.com/ag.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine. Not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
Okay, antibodies, huddle up. We're a great team, but the flu is dominating. The good news is the human we're protecting just got his flu shots. That means all of us antibodies have strong new gear that will help us fight and defend against the flu. We must win so that our human can stay healthy and help protect the people he cares about most.
Let's work as a team to defend against the flu. Gear up with a flu shot to help protect yourself and others and reduce your risk of being sick or hospitalized with the flu. Learn more at getmyflushot.org. Brought to you by the AMA, CDC, and the Ad Council.
Veterans, if you were impacted by a recent hurricane or natural disaster, the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs is here to help. To find 24/7 info about healthcare, housing, insurance, benefits payments, and more, call 1-800-MY-VA-411 or visit va.gov/resources/disaster-help. That's 1-800-MY-VA-411 or va.gov/resources/disaster-help. For emergencies, always dial 911.
This is Andrew McCray, host of The American Countryside. I'm also a farmer and rancher from Northwest Missouri, and I hope you'll join me each week for Farming the Countryside as we take a look at the top issues impacting agriculture as told by the people farming and working in our industry. We'll talk about markets and trade, share some of the latest tips and trends from grain and livestock producers, and take a look at trends impacting rural America. Join me for Farming the Countryside on many local radio stations or on your favorite podcast platform, or just go to farmingthecountryside.com.
Mom's early Alzheimer's diagnosis was hard to take.
And when I left the oven on, we decided together that it was time to see a doctor and make a plan.
Early detection gave us more time to seek out information and support as a family.
If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. For more information, visit alz.org/timetotalk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
If the world is your oyster, we've got pearls of wisdom on AgriTalk.
Welcome back. Glad you're with us. Man, that was a good conversation with Dwayne.
There you go. See? You got your mojo back. You're all set.
See? There you go. You're exactly right. And I was going to complain about the fact that it looks like it's, you know, 6:30 at night outside right now. I shouldn't. Seriously,
well, no, it'd be dark.
6:30. Yeah. It would be really dark, wouldn't it? By 6:30,
looks like it's 4:30 out there right now.
Oh, that's so bad.
It's been a long day.
Yes. Okay. So we finished up conversation with Dwayne there about January feeder cattle, and I know we're going to kick off the conversation with Kerry Artak from Artak Advisory with January feeder cattle. Kerry, how are you?
I'm great, Chip. Thanks for having me again.
You bet. Glad you're here. Don't forget, if you would like to take a look at the work that Kerry does on the commodity side, go to artacadvisory.com, A-R-T-A-C advisory. And on the stock side, go to wickedstocks.com. All right, kick us off, Kerry.
Yeah, January feeder cattle. I'll start right there. You know, I've been bullish this market for the last couple of months. We did have a failed, we had a long-term sell signal about 2 months ago that played out for about a week before we sort of reversed, closed back above channel support. And, you know, in my book, a failed long-term sell signal isn't itself a valid sign of mid to longer-term strength. That's been what's, you know, we've seen this play out now, especially the last couple of days. So, you know, following that, holding above 241.37, and that is the base of long-term support. We've been above it for the last couple of months. I've been mentioning how the January contract could actually push into the lower 160s by its expiration. And the broader market, the back contracts, still, as we continue into spring, summer of next year, in reach of the mid to upper 160s, 165 and a quarter, 168 and a quarter. And that remains all true. What's played out over the last 2 days is a buy signal on the daily chart for January that is now present above 243.50. So we closed today at 249.50, that 241.37 to 243.50 area, well below the market now, able to contain selling in a January expiration, broader market selling through winter, above which January should reach 153.40 over the next couple of weeks, possibly next couple of days with what's been happening, and 163.42 in reach by January expiration. If we close this week above 153.40, that 163.42 is likely inside of 2 to 3 weeks where Jan could actually top out into its expiration. So that is the big picture to the upside. Now, if over the coming weeks we were to collapse back, settle below 241.37, everything shifts south for the broader market, 225.50, then a 2 to 3 month downside objective. And we could, as we continue into spring, summer of next year, fall as far south as 209.50. But, you know, those are the downside possibilities if we close below 241.37. Until then, we're in a stable to bullish long-term cattle market. Okay. February lean hogs. We're just in the process now of rolling out of December and into February. And the way I see this shaping up is that we've got this kind of wide sweeping two-sided framework for not only February, but the broader market into February expiration. We've got 86.90 overhead long-term resistance dropping weekly into the 82 handle by the end of the year. And then we have a channel bottom that is about a 4 or 5 month channel bottom at 73.87, well below the market. So that is our wide sweeping sort of 13 point range that narrows gradually. And inside of that, I've got 79.67. And that 79.67 level can contain selling really into February expiration. So it's kind of getting deep in the weeds here, but holding between 79.67 and 86.90 is a two-sided framework through the rest of the year. If we close below 79.67 over the next few weeks, then we test that long-term support at 73.87. 73.87 is significant. It is the point that can contain selling through winter. And if we were to close below 73.87, we then enter a long-term bear market that by next summer could yield the mid-50s, 55.50. The inverse is true with 86.90. So the way I see it, over the next few months, this market's going to tip its hand. It's going to be a big move, I think, well into next year. If we can close above 86.90, dropping weekly into the 82 handle by the end of the year, if we can close above that, I see a nice rally playing out, 95 even, a 3 to 5 week objective. But the 115 handle wouldn't surprise me as we continue into next summer. So bottom line, okay, bullish above 86.90 long-term, bearish below 73.87 long-term, and inside that is a sort of two-sided framework midterm, really through winter trade. And finally, Tesla is the stock. I mentioned Tesla before. I'm repeating again because following the recent rally that we've seen, we are right at the edge of a significant buy signal that could play out well into next year. It's 337.37. We're trading right about there right now. They announced, you know, the Trump administration, the incoming administration did mention the relaxing of standards for auto driving. This is obviously beneficial for Tesla. And so if we can close above 337.37 at the end of this week by a 1% margin that is 340.75 or higher, I see 414.49. That's the November 21 high within 2 to 3 months, possibly within 2 to 3 weeks, and 500 even over the next 3 to 5 months if we can close at 340.75 or higher. Until then, this is a significant ceiling of resistance where we could actually top out through the rest of the year below 337.37, expecting 275 even over the next 2 to 3 weeks, realistically. And over the next 2 to 3 months, we could ease all the way back to 235 even. So these are, this is a volatile, wide swinging stock. Tesla, and you jump on board the long side with a settlement this week at or above 340.75. We've got gains of 50% roughly over the next 3 to 5 months.
That's a potential move right there. Yeah, that's plenty. That is plenty, Kerry. Good stuff, man. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir. You have a great day.
You bet. Kerry Artek, Artek Advisory, wickedstocks.com. National Weather Service, 6 to 10 day outlook, November 24th through the 28th. Below normal temperatures in the Dakotas and far northern Nebraska. Near normal temperatures, most of Minnesota, western Iowa, and then above normal temperatures, expected eastern Iowa, Wisconsin, and points to the east and south of that. Above normal precipitation also expected across most of the Corn Belt. You got to get down into Kansas and the Panhandle to see near normal to below normal on the precip. 8 to 14 day, November 26th to December 2nd. Below normal temperatures making their way into Wisconsin, far western Illinois, all of Iowa, northern Minnesota, and above normal precipitation. Thank you so much for listening today. Come back tomorrow morning. Lee Blank, Summit Carbon Solutions.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
I taught for 20 years, until I started forgetting my lectures.
Eventually, he had to quit. Getting his early Alzheimer's diagnosis was hard, but it gave us time to take control of the situation, together.
I can't imagine going through this without him.
If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. For more information, visit alz.org/timetotalk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Point!
Hey, you okay? You don't normally miss those shots.
Ugh, I just haven't been as regular lately, and it's making me feel sluggish.
You should try Metamucil. It's been a game changer for me. Metamucil's plant-based psyllium fiber helps trap and remove the waste that weighs you down.
Ace!
You're moving better than you were last week.